This morning is going to be read probably thousands of times this morning. And I thought about how many times whenever we come to the days we celebrate Christ, whether it be Christmas, whether it be Easter, that some people will come to church and you know what they'll say? Well, they're going to preach that same old message. They're going to preach the same old scripture. We know where the scripture's coming from. But can I tell you this morning that, yep, we're going to do it again this morning.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's worthy of it.
Amen.
Amen. He's worthy of us going back. And these words on these pages in this Bible they were living at one time.
That's right.
Like this was truly visual to a lot of people. And they seen all these things that we're going to talk about this morning. So what an honor it is to be here this morning, be able to have a copy of this book. But stand with me. We're going to read the first 8 verses. We're going to preach fast because I know Chucky wants it and I know that breakfast is being cooked. But if you're there, find your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified.
Yeah.
He is not here.
Amen.
For he is risen.
Amen.
As he said.
Yeah.
Amen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed not slowly, but they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and with great joy. And they didn't walk, but did run. To bring his disciples' words. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, God, to break forth and break open the bread of life. God, I pray this morning, God, that you hide me behind you. God, I pray, God, for the ears that are under the sound of my voice, God, that you'd give them the words to hear, God. Help us to hear, God, this morning. God, help us to take in and apply to our lives, God. God, I pray that you help me this morning to preach with boldness, God, to preach with confidence and preach with clarity, not for my glory, but for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning, our risen Savior. We love you. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We see this. If you've been in church, you know the whole story. But I think it's good sometimes to go back to what all happened. Amen. That Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived an entire sinless life, began his ministry, and began to do the things that nobody else could do. Began to touch blinded eyes, and all of a sudden they could see, Brother Adam. Began to touch legs that were lame, and all of a sudden they began to be able to receive strength. And was able to walk, touch those that were diseased, and all of a sudden, those that were diseased left healed. We see that with leprosy. We see that with the woman with the issue of blood. And we see all these things in Jesus' ministry. And then we come to the point in the time to where he tells his disciples that he's going to be crucified. He's going to be beaten. We read it in the scripture. All these bad things are going to happen. They're going to mock him. They're going to spit on him. They're going to scourge him. They're going to beat him beyond recognition. And he's going to go to a cross, carry a cross up Calvary's hill for you and for me, bearing the sins of the world. and going to hang upon that cross and die on that cross. You see, the death is important because without a death, he could not rise again. Without a death, today he could not be a risen Savior. He'd still be a dead. He wouldn't be nothing, Brother Chucky. He wouldn't be able to rise had he not been dead. And so we see that in the scripture where he hung upon that cross of Calvary for you and for me, bearing the sins of the world. And old Joseph of Arimathea came, and after the death, they pierced his side. And we know that that blood and the water, everything perceived that he was truly dead. He was not alive. You see, they went through and they wanted to speed up to death. So they went through and they began to hit the legs of the other two men. They come to Jesus and he was already dead. There's a reason they didn't break his legs. Speeding up the process. We know that he gets carried to a borrowed tomb and gets laid into this tomb and laid in a stone rolled in the way. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. But we see that everything was set up and Jesus was in this tomb. The Pharisees were hollering. The high priests were hollering. They were praising is what they were doing. Hey, we got him. The Bible calls him a deceiver. If you go back and you read where the Pharisees, they called him a deceiver. This deceiver, he's now dead. We've got him. He ain't going nowhere. We're going to take it even a step further. We're going to go to Pilate and we're going to tell him to give us some soldiers. And we're going to have them guard that entire tomb to where Jesus lay to be sure that what he said doesn't come true. To be sure that he wasn't going to rise in 3 days. To be sure that maybe his disciples can't come and they can't get him out and take him away. To be sure of those things. So this morning I want to preach just a simple thought. We see these things. We see all of this transpire, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus. But this morning is unlike any other. You see, this morning separates the Christianity from all the other religions, Buddhism, Islam, all of them, Hinduism, all of the isms, all of them. It separates them apart. Why? Because if you go to their God's grave, guess what? They're still in there. They still going to be bones. They still going to be in a tomb. They still there. Brother Mike, they ain't moved a wink. They ain't woke up. They ain't rose up. They ain't got no breath in their lungs. They still dead. But the one we served this morning, hey, is alive. He's not just alive, but he's alive and he's well this morning. What a thing to shout about. So I want to just preach just a simple thought on this morning. Things that tried to stand in the way. Things that tried to stand in the way. Here we see, as I was going through that, we looked at that stone. This morning I want us to take a look and go back into that time to that stone that the Bible says was rolled in the way. You see, they tried to do that. They would take those stones back then. Jesus here was hewn, his tomb, his tomb that he was laid in was hewn out of rock, more than likely, completely out of rock. No way in, no way out, but through one place. And that was a place in which they laid the stone. They rolled the stone. The Bible says in Mark 16:3-4, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone of the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Luke 24:1-2, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher bringing spices which they had prepared. Hey, there's that word again, prepared. Amen. And certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. John chapter number 20, the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. In Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 and 2, what we just read here this morning, at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Amen. There was a stone that was rolled in the way. They tried to keep Jesus in and tried to keep the others from being able to get in. In a sense, they tried to keep him in and keep the disciples out, Brother Adam. But we know that throughout Scripture, we would read that the stone was shut. The stone blocked the entrance for him to be able to get out and for the disciples to be able to get in. We see that if you studied this out, you would see that this was not probably, more than likely, not a big old round stone that they just rolled in the way. What it was probably what they would call a cork-style stone. What it was pushed into the tomb to compress up against it where it could. It took a lot to get it out. It took a lot to be able to remove the stone and to get the stone out of the way. If you look at that word rolled, there's all sorts of different meanings, but it can mean to be removed from a place. To be removed. So we see the stone was shut. The stone was in order to keep Jesus in and to keep the disciples out. But not only was it that, it was sealed. Pilate had a seal upon this thing. The Roman seal of the tomb, what was that? It was this thing that if it was broken, if somebody was to break this seal to be able to get into this place, get into this tomb, try to vandalize the tomb, then the sentence would be death. If they found that the seal was broke, the sentence, and they were caught, the sentence would be death. Not only was the tomb, the stone shut, the stone was sealed, but the stone was secure. You see, there wasn't nobody getting in and there wasn't nobody getting out.
That's right.
You say, what do you mean? Well, you see, not only do we see the stone itself, we see something that was great and something mighty, something very, very big, something very, very heavy, something that you study it out, it couldn't be lifted by just one man. There had to be numerous men. So it was secure. Why? Because it would deter a lot of people from even giving it a thought. We got the seal that it deterred them. Hey, if I got to get into something and it's going to cause me to be killed, I ain't messing with it. But not only that, but we see that it was secure by the soldiers. The soldiers had that thing surrounded about, just like policemen in those barricade situations. You'll see them, they'll have that individual surrounded about, and they'll be walking forward like this right here, Brother Mike, you know what I'm talking about. And they'll have that person surrounded. And it's the same way with this tomb. A lot of people that are a lot smarter than I, they give their thoughts on this, and it could have been anywhere from 8 to 16 soldiers surrounding a dead man's tomb.
Yeah, come on.
You ever thought about that? Why was they surrounding a dead man's tomb? Chucky, why? If he's dead, he's dead. You know, why were they so scared that the priest went to Pilate and said, hey, we need some soldiers just in case that what he said just might be true. Just in case that what he said might be true. You see, this stone had to be removed from this place. Why? Because it was standing in the way. You say it was standing in the way of Jesus? Nope. Show what? Show what? The stone wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let us in. It was to let us in. Amen. It was to let us see that, hey, that Scripture truly was fulfilled. Amen. That whenever they stepped inside of that, when they peeked inside of that thing, they said, he ain't here. He's gone. The stone had to be removed, not for him to get out. My Lord, if you read on, you see where he could walk through walls.
Right.
He didn't need a stone to keep him in.
Amen.
But it was to let us in, let us to see that, hey, that he truly was the Son of God. Hey, they walked into that place after that stone was rolled away, and they looked on the inside. Grave clothes, and guess what was still folded? There was a napkin. Amen. Glory to God. What does a napkin signify? He's coming back.
That's right.
Amen. When they would get at a table, they would fold a napkin and put a napkin in a certain spot to signify that, hey, that they were coming back to the table. Amen. Ain't you glad?
Amen.
That, hey, that the napkin, there's plenty of messages preached by a whole lot greater preachers than I, that the napkin is still folded. Amen. That he's coming back for you and for me. Chucky, how we doing on time? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. But not only do we see that the stone was a picture of something that stood in the way. And if I could ask this, what's in your way?
Come on.
What's rolled in your way between you and God? What's rolled into your way? What needs to be removed? What needs to be taken out, friend? Good question to ponder. Hey. I heard, I think it was Preacher Billy Field said this statement one time, I didn't realize how far away I was from God until I tried to get as close as I could to Him.
Come on.
And hey, what if we began to examine our lives? What if we began to look at self, not everybody else? Because see, we ain't going to answer for everybody else.
Amen.
We're going to answer for us. I'm going to answer for me. So what's standing in the way? What can be removed in my life that'll draw me closer to Him and let me see things that I'd never seen before? Amen. But not only that do we see the removal of the stone, but we see the removal of the soldiers. The stone was rolled away and the soldiers had to be removed. The Bible says this, His countenance, what we just read, His countenance was like lightning and His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, listen, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. All of these guards, look, we're not talking about Barney Fife.
Go ahead. Amen.
We ain't talking about One Bullet Barney. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about trained killers.
Amen.
We're talking about people, this is what they do. This is people. They got the perception that people don't even go around them. People don't even like to get near them for the fear that they'll do something wrong in the sight of these soldiers and they'll get killed.
Amen.
Trained killers. Now, I'm talking about like not the Barney Fife, but like your Navy SEAL of Navy SEALs. I'm talking about people that just have a fear about them, in them. Not that they fear anything, but other people fear them. Amen. And Jesus is laying in this tomb dead and surrounded by, he's closed in by a stone, and he's surrounded by all of these soldiers, these highly trained people, that this was their job. If something was to happen, then they would be killed. If something was to happen under their watch, they would be killed. And we see here that these soldiers, they were the ones that stood in the way. They were the ones that had this tomb surrounded so that nobody else could come, so that the disciples couldn't come, like the Pharisees said, and take the body, that they would be stopped because they could move the stone away together. But with the soldiers there, they had no chance. They were completely outmatched. The enemy was in the way. The enemy stood in the way. And here we see that the enemy is depicted here as the soldiers, the people that are trained in these aspects of life, the people that know nothing but to kill. Amen. The devil come to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Amen. That's what he did. And so we see this depiction. I see it as a sign of a sense of the enemy as they had him surrounded. Whenever the angel come up, hey, you know what they did? They quaked. They shook in fear. I just think that they had to know that this truly was him. That this truly was him. The Bible says that the ground did shake and they did shake. And all of a sudden they fell down as dead men.
Amen. Amen.
They fell down, face down on the ground as dead men, Brother Adam. And they just laid there. And I thought about in that the play at the end of it several years ago, and y'all know what I'm talking about if you've seen it or been in it, that they would take Satan at the end of the judgment scene. They would take Satan and they'd throw him down on the ground. Hey, they'd throw him down with them chains, Brother Chucky, and they would get him down, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Old Dallas stick his old foot up on top of him. I just believe that's how it was on that day. He just stuck his foot on top of the enemy. Amen. Just held his foot on the enemy. And just like the devil was rolled out. And y'all know, cast into the lake of fire forevermore. But what a picture of something that stood in the way. Not only was it the stone, but it was the soldiers. This one's going to be a little bit different. Because you see, there's something sometimes that stands in the way of each of us here. You know, I would like to perceive that everybody in here is right with God, because who's going to get up at 6:30 and come to church? Ain't that right? Why we got to do that? But there's something sometimes within us that stands in the way. It may be doubt. It may be fear. It may be anxiety. It may be depression. But there's some things in our life that stand in the way of our true relationship with God. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about some things standing in the way. I'm talking about some things in our lives that hinder our relationship in a sense. But I want you to see this, that not only did the stone have to be rolled away, and not only did the soldiers have to be removed, but I want us to see here that the saints had to be reminded.
Come on.
Sometimes it's good for us to be reminded.
Amen.
Amen. What a day like today.
Amen.
What a day, Brother Adam, that we get to come and we don't celebrate a dead God. We celebrate one that's alive.
Amen.
Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I need it more than once a year. I need it more than once a year. Why? Because I go through struggles. Hey, y'all, anybody in here go through struggles? I do. Sometimes the burdens get heavy. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes the things of life just, you know what they tend to do? They tend to pile up and they tend to get heavy. Hey, some days I don't have the greatest days at work, believe it or not. Believe it, I'm not always smiling. Sometimes just like everybody else, the preachers included, the deacons included, the sound men included. Guess what? Sometimes days just stink. And sometimes the devil can get on you and he can drive something home and he can drive. And you know what will end up happening? Is in a sense, you'll end up believing exactly what he's trying to tell you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, God doesn't hear me. God doesn't hear these prayers. Anybody ever felt like that?
Amen.
I felt like that, and I'm sure everybody in this place has. But the Bible says this in Luke, and as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Amen.
Amen. He is not here, but is risen. Now take hold of this. Remember how we spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Amen.
And the Bible says this at the end of verse number 8. It says, and they remembered his words.
Come on.
They remembered his words. They remembered that all of these things, I mean, can you imagine that all of a sudden getting to a tomb and hearing this man named Jesus, and you've seen him do all of these miracles, seen him do all of these things that nobody else could do, and him telling you, hey, one of these days that I'm gonna be gone, I'm gonna be taken away, these sinful men, they're gonna beat me, they're gonna crucify me, I'm gonna die, but I want you to know this, that I'm coming back, that I'm not gonna stay dead, that I'm gonna rise again. And on that third day, I'm going to be brought back. I'm going to be raised again. And friend, this is what he's reminding them all of a sudden when they get to that tomb and they realize that, hey, that the tomb's empty, that there ain't nobody in here. They begin to be afraid and they begin to, I just imagine, Brother Adam, that just like me, that, hey, that maybe the doubt started to creep into their mind. Maybe some fear started to creep in. And as they looked into that tomb and they didn't see nobody in there, that, hey, when that angel spoke to them, then all of a sudden, Taylor, all of a sudden, what was spoken by Jesus all of a sudden began to flood back into their memory. Some days it can be by the word of God. That, hey, anybody ever been going through a bad day? And, hey, you just, I mean, it's just like it's meant to be. I mean, you just, but you just flip it open and all of a sudden, there's exactly what you needed. All of a sudden, the words that he is my refuge and my strength, my present help in times of trouble. Amen. All of a sudden, you begin to read those words, or that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You start reading those things that even though I may not feel like my prayers are getting through, that all I've got to do is just confess what's in between me and God. And he'll hear, amen, that he's faithful and he's just. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 5 and 7, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and lo, I have told you. This morning, there were some things on this morning we celebrate that risen Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. But there were some things that stood in the way. There were some things on that day, on that very morning, Brother Chucky, that was in the way of those disciples maybe getting to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you this. I don't know if you want to do altar call or not. Whatever. Can you just play something soft? Play something soft, Mr. Juan, thank you. But those things stood in the way. Those things were in the way of them getting to Jesus.
Come on. Come on.
You get it? Those things were standing in the way of them getting to Jesus. They had to be removed. They had to be removed. Stone rolled away. Had to remove the soldiers, throw them down as dead men. But then the saints, the people that loved Jesus, the people that followed Jesus, had to be reminded that he did what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
And friend, I don't know about y'all this morning. I know it's early. Hey, I know it's, I don't even know what time it is. Probably shade after 7. But maybe there's some things in your life that may be standing in the way. You want to truly experience the goodness of God. You want to truly experience the things that God has planned for us, for you and for me. Get those things out of the way. Because at the end of the day, Brother Adam, old-fashioned saying here, they don't mean a hill of beans. Or they don't amount to a hill of beans, whatever you want to take. So as we stand on our feet this morning, I just want to ask you, we're not going to sing no song.